Bills GM Brandon Bean was a guest on the Jerry and Joe show.
Jerry and Joe.
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 You're listening to
Jerry and Joe on WGRN Buffalo.
Yeah. You know what? That's good by me. That's a blessing. To be called Jerry? I guess so. One of the great misconceptions.
You want your name out of it on that?
No, not because I'm like in any way
just on that show specifically
embarrassed or ashamed or anything. One of the greatest misconceptions, and you could speak to this. Now they're on YouTube especially. The belief that, oh, you guys want to go viral so bad. Like, I promise you.
I'd just give everything to
it's
not.
It's not a thing we're hoping for. Not really.
But it has happened.
Sure. McAfee, First Things First, First Take. At least we're Jerry and Joe in a number of these shows.
Rich Eisen Show, New York Post, maybe tonight it'll be... Will we get on John Oliver last week, tonight?
No.
This week?
Let's hope not.
Will we get on... I don't know. The Nightly News.
803-0550. Get some phone calls in. Happy Wednesday. Chillier today, right? Chilly.
Yeah, it was cold. We kept our windows open overnight, and it was freezing.
Me too. Tomorrow it's going to be high of 73. Don't look now, but like the weekend looks like a washout.
Great.
It's a lot of rain.
Good. Go to the Bandits game.
Yes. Bandits playoffs.
Friday night. They're a wagon.
Go to the Derby.
Or the Derby. Or if you want to take a... Oh, actually, it's not in Rochester. If you want to drive all the way to Syracuse, you can go to Amherst Crunch this week. But that's a bit of a hike.
Jay in Hamilton is up to lead off this hour. What's up, Jay?
Oh, what a pleasure to be on the Jerry and Joe show. It is amazing. Not to have Joe feel left out. Let's call it the Jerry and Jim show going forward. So I know you got a lot of callers. So I'll be quick here. This is my position is this, and I've felt this way for a little bit now. With the Bean phone call on Monday, again, which was incredible radio. I still can't get over how wonderful this radio has been. I think the defensive position he was taking is sort of where I'm falling on this with this team. And I've made this case about defensively and offensively that I feel like what this team has been missing is that alpha male sort of monster pass rusher, wide receiver person. And what I mean by that is we can do this, receiver by committee all year and be successful. And we were, and that's great. But at the end of the year, what did it get us, right? And I say to myself, when you need a big play to win a game, which basically, guys, we know this is what's come down to with these games against the Chiefs. It's one or two plays that make or break a game. And I feel like right now with the receiver group that we have, I don't think we have that go-to guy, just like I think we don't really have that on defense. So what I think Bean's been doing is kind of chasing his tail on the defensive side with the number of picks he's had over the years that kind of, you know, flamed out, whether it's Basham or Elam or Edmonds. So I think he's still trying to chase that. I think he thought he got that in Miller, and that washed out big time. So we are left with a team that I don't think has that one guy that teams go, okay, guys, they got a couple of plays left. Here's what we have to look out for. And I think that's the frustration Bean was coming at with receiver, because that's that alpha male A.G. Brown type I always talk about, who I just love, we don't have. And I think that's what I feel could hold us back, and that's why I'm kind of waiting to see how this goes this year. I'll end right here. We have Josh Allen, I think the greatest quarterback in the league. But we have to stop saying, well, it's Josh Allen. He can make anything out of anything. We got to give him something. I think we're holding it back. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay. You know, one thing about this conversation, like you're talking about the blue chipper, which I know some people don't think this is correct, but you know what two people are the most qualified to say what has been said on this show? You and me. We're the ones that are here every day. You know what this offseason has been about? It is, even though there's a wide receiver big board behind me, it's empty.
It's empty, though.
It's empty. The number one thing this offseason was about when it started was just what he was talking about, a blue chipper.
Yeah.
Stud somewhere. Not
right, anywhere.
Doesn't have to be A.J. Brown.
It mostly was pass rusher.
Miles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby. I thought the idea of Malachi Starks in the draft, like, okay, if he's going to be like that guy, I'll take that guy at any position. Should they trade up for the best edge? Right. What about Travis Hunter? He can play both ways.
Right.
The offseason was, at the start of it, a lot of that. Yes, they need pieces on defense, and you could even make, I don't think it's that hard to make an argument, draft as many defensive players as possible, and if one blue chipper comes out of there, then like jackpot. Chris Jones was a second-round pick. So the offseason was not relentless receiver conversation. We ignored everything else. It was mostly blue chip. Where do I get – I mean, I even said to you going into the draft, where am I coming out with three other names that fit in the top NFL's top 100 players? Positionless.
Right. Which is what kind of got us to safety a little bit, didn't
it? Yeah, right, right. Yeah. So, you know, we are – last year we did a lot about that position. But this year it was, as soon as it ended, if you want to say that's receiver or if I want – or if you want to say that's edge, I'm into – T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt for a minute.
We talked T.J. Watt for a minute.
Yeah.
We're going to talk – as soon as a guy's name comes up in trade rumors, oh, Davante Adams, you think he'd want to sign here? No, he wants to go to the West Coast. Okay.
Right, we spent a minute with Davante Adams, and if maybe I'm missing somebody else, but the only player I can think of for this idea that we talked about at receiver was Metcalf. Right. Metcalf also happened so quick. Like, to be fair, like we would have talked more about DK Metcalf. Absolutely. But didn't it happen in 2 days? It was
fast.
Hey, DK Metcalf's available for trade. 2 days go by. Okay, he's on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, it was kind of fast.
It was pretty fast. So we would have, but Metcalf was the only one at that position that fit that bill. It's been more about edge rusher. Weeks of Myles Garrett and Max Crosby. And to be fair, I mean, that for me, that was the goal at the beginning of the offseason. It's a tough goal to achieve, is go find an elite player. I don't even care what position it's at.
It's hard to do.
It's hard to do, and they really didn't do it.
No,
but again, it's not their. Like,
well, who did? Who did?
That's the point.
How many teams did?
The only team that maybe can argue they did is Pittsburgh, and I think you could debate how good Metcalf is for that.
Yeah, who's the other? Who's the most significant?
And they don't have a quarterback.
Who's the most significant NFL player that moved teams this year? Is it Metcalf?
It's probably Metcalf.
Is it Davante Adams?
None of the edge rushers moved. None of them.
Right.
Right.
Milton Williams. Is that it?
Sure. But he doesn't qualify for this.
We talked about Milton Williams. We threw out the idea of Josh Sweat. Right.
Eagles. Free agency.
So
it's probably Metcalf is the number one. And have we done a lot of revisionist history on they should have done that?
I mean, I
like the player, but we haven't spent much time on being bitter about that the Steelers got him and the Bills didn't.
Now, one thing I would say is about this, and this is a new landing spot I'm on not just the Bills, but kind of every team that's not the Eagles. Most of the salary cap restrictions you hear about are a cover. I'll go a little too far to say a lie, but the Bills couldn't do that. They could do a lot. They could do a lot more. A lot of teams could do a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Bean yesterday talking about how, well, you got a quarterback, you got to make concessions. Not really. A lot of teams have expensive quarterbacks now. Josh Allen's cap hit is 10th among quarterbacks this year. 10th.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... he's number one by a lot. This is not, you know, in the NHL, when the salary cap got introduced, we kind of started thinking like, well, you can't be a one-line team because then you won't be able to fill your roster. Allen is paid a lot. There's no doubt about that. And
that will get higher because he just signed an extension in a couple years.
It will. But what will also happen is other extensions will get signed.
Right.
And other guys will pass him. Let's say Jaden Daniels puts together two more really good years. He will pass Josh Allen on cap hit.
Sure.
Or at least on money, and then they'll probably work to keep the cap hit low. But quarterback cap hits this year. Here are the teams that are paying more to their quarterback on the cap than Josh Allen. Cowboys, who are in a cap mess because they do bad business.
They're bad at this.
This is one spot that Brandon Bean gets ahead of the game. Given a lot of credit for doing stuff like this. Ahead of the game on a lot of their contracts. They save money.
And Dallas is late.
The opposite.
All the time.
Rams pay 49 on the cap this year for Stafford. The Bengals, 46 for Burrow. Lamar, 43. Kyler, 43. Geno Smith, 40.
Ooh.
Kirk Cousins, 40.
Ooh.
Tua, ooh, not even playing.
Cousins, he's the backup.
Tua, 39. Herbert, 37. And then...
What's Allen's?
36.
Okay.
Right behind Allen is Deshaun Watson, 35, and then Goff, 32.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes' cap hit this year is 28.
Right. I don't think they didn't end up with a blue chipper because they couldn't afford it. I think they didn't because they didn't get moved.
Yeah, I agree.
Simply put. I think if Myles Garrett had been traded, let's say if all of them had been traded, it's a lot to say, but Crosby moved and Garrett moved and T.J. Watt moved. All these elite pass rushers moved. I bet you the Bills would have been one of the landing spots. If like three or four of them had moved teams, they would have got one of them.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Zero got moved.
That's right. Steve in Virginia. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, good.
Hey, I just wanted to keep on with the wide receiver topic. You remember last year, Bills had a couple injuries, and then we got blown out to the Ravens 35-10. Then we also lost to the Texans 23-20. Couldn't score enough points on offense for those two games. And then Brandon Bean had to go make an in-season trade for Amari Cooper. I know a lot of it had to do with injuries to Curtis Samuel, and other players. So say if we get a couple more players that get injured again, or if the offense, stalls again, is Brandon Bean going to have to do the same thing, make an in-season trade or, do something else? Because, with any other quarterback, I don't think, this group of receivers will be successful. I mean, maybe Mahomes or, somebody like that, but very few, I think, would be successful with the group that the Bills have. And I just wanted to get your take on all that.
Yeah. No, you're talking, Steve, I'm thinking, if one of these players, the Cooper trade last year, he becomes available, they wanted to add and they did it. This is where, what Bean said on Monday, I really wonder, how much is that? It boxes in the conversation, but it also boxes in him, maybe? If a receiver that isn't available right now, this guy's not going to become available, but Terry McLaurin's in the final year of his deal. And for some reason, June hits, and they're so far apart on money that now he's being talked about as a trade idea. I'm going to want them to do that. I see value in a player like that on this offense and making things even easier on Josh Allen. Sure, do you need it? You could argue that. Do I want it still? Does it make it even better? Sure. But the way the general manager talked on Monday, I can't imagine having a real conversation about them actually doing it.
And I want to say real quick, while I don't agree with that approach,
no, me neither.
I do think there is a defense of it. I do think you could make the case. I've got the best quarterback. I don't ever need a $31 million receiver. If you want to make that case, I guess this is what it comes down to. Could you defend a point that you don't agree with? Because I could defend that point. I don't agree with it, but I could defend it. Because, again, if they were to go out and just – if they treated receiver like some teams treat running back and just draft, and never re-sign, and that's a new team's model. For a while, that's what people thought the Packers were going to do, which, by the way, the Packers haven't paid anybody. So it still might be the Packers' model to draft them and say goodbye. We're not going to pay Jaden Reed. We're not going to pay Christian Watson. We're going to cycle this position because our offensive coordinator is a genius and our quarterback is really good. That's defendible. If you the Bills want to do it with just, $10 to $15 million guys, I think you could make a defense of that.
Yeah.
So I might not agree with it.
To Steve's question, though, because this did happen last year, by the way, in the year where they were second in the league in points, it did happen. They had a slow patch in the middle. They had a game in Houston. They had a game in Baltimore where it became evident, ooh, you're missing something out there. You don't have something out there, and there are teams that are picking on you for it. And what did they do? They traded for Amari Cooper. And again, impressive that they were able to bounce back and be so 30-point run on offense without him even being a big contributor. But to Steve's question, if they did have a similar type of start where, okay, we're six games into the year and we're off a couple of games where it looks like defenses are picking on you because, hey, Coleman didn't develop and you don't have much on the outside and there's an Amari Cooper comparable out there on the market, are they going to do that again? They did just show they were willing to last year. Or would they say this year, hey, last year we bounced back and we didn't even need him, so let's just trust the process and we'll stay with our guys.
Good. Bob in Arkansas. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I can't believe my good fortune to get on air the soon-to-be nationally syndicated Jerry and Hollywood Joe show.
That's right.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Wow, right? Hey. Yeah. Anyways, I was listening to the Bean. It was on the app. I listened to that the day it happened. It's funny. I actually thought you guys were getting pranked for 20 seconds. I'm like, this is so out of character. And then I finally heard his voice more, and I thought, no, that's him. And I thought, man, he's just way out of character. And I thought, well, maybe he's just having a bad day. Dude hasn't slept in 3 days. The draft's crazy. And everybody can have bad days. But I think the thing that disappointed me most as a fan was the fantasy football comment. And I think it was because we care, man. Like, we, I don't know that there's any more informed fan base than the Buffalo Bills fan base, and a fan base that cares more, or in a small market. We love our team, man. We just want to see the team be successful. You know, last year I traveled to Houston to see a game, spent a bunch of money, came up for the divisional game against the Ravens, spent a bunch of money. As a fan, I see that there are times the offense stalls. It seems like they need someone that can get open downfield. You know, we're passionate, man. You know, it's not coming from a place of even judging him. It's just we all want the same thing. We want to hoist that Lombardi trophy and win.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I don't, and not, even if, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting a unit that's already really good, so, great even, to be even better. I've kind of,
to that point.
Yeah, go ahead.
We played a clip of Stephen A. Smith saying, like, as a pundit, you got to do your research.
Right.
Like, and, you know, Bean has tried to take shots at us for forgetting about Josh Palmer. Like, buddy.
No, right.
We haven't forgotten about anything. To the point where, at one point during this draft process, I went back to the last 10 or 12 number one offenses in the NFL and what they did with their first three picks in the draft. What mm-hmm. did they do? Did they say, we are an amazing offense.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to pick offense. And again, like, every one of these teams would have context. But for me, what do I want to do? Like, all right, I want to find out context. How normal is it for a team that's number one to draft offense? By the way, the Bills were number two.
All right.
All but two of them drafted an offensive player in the first three rounds. It's not unusual. So right. I why did I want to do that? I want to know the context. I want to know, hey, because if I could find a trend, Joe, where I see, you know, you want to know something? Stat of the day, the last 12 teams finished number one in offense, didn't spend a pick on offense, and the opposite is true. It's more rare to not do it. So
right.
if they had taken a receiver, if they had taken a back, if they finished number one in the league this year, number one, and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Are they going to take an offensive player?
Well, we're not going to care what they do. Does the draft even exist next year?
That's right.
They've done that.
But if they have the number one,
we will not. The draft will go by, and we will realize we forgot it.
That's right.
The Monday will show up. Like wait, there was a draft. Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, it's such an extreme example of it, but the Warriors won more games in an NBA season than any team ever. And they came two plays away from winning the NBA championship. And what did they do? They signed the third best player in the world. They're already the best scoring team that's ever existed.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, let's do that too. And that's an extreme example, as I mentioned. The Eagles were reportedly in on Myles Garrett. They just won the Super Bowl, and everybody saw how. They had an amazing pass rush.
And they let
amazing
a lot of it
defensive
leave.
Line.
They let
two guys left, two yeah. important pieces. And they didn't just say, you know, well, we're going to get growth from guys internal. It was, you know, reported that they were going to be in on the best dude in the league. They were already great at it. They lost two, but they were still going to be great. And, like, the best dude in the league's available.
Matt in Charlotte. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Really enjoy the show. Wanted to share a perspective here. I'm a psychotherapist. I've worked with couples and families arguing for the last 25 years. And when I listened to the conversation, first of all, you guys handled it masterfully. But over 25 years, I've heard people argue about dishes when dishes aren't really the problem. Okay?
Yep.
Dishes are never the problem. And in this case, kind of, you know, the argument between you two about the wide receivers really isn't the issue. What I learn is, after months of arguing about dishes, what we really find out after peeling some layers back is that mommy and daddy aren't in love anymore. Okay. And in this case, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are not in love anymore. I think the issue is really about the coach and all of the roster stuff. It's important to talk about that. But the real issue is we need a new coach. Everybody can probably agree that the roster has never been a problem over the last 5 years. So just wanted to share that. Again, you guys handled it very well. Appreciate you, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Matt. I mean, I don't know that they need a new coach or they need a new GM, but I do think that people should leave space for that possibility that the two – they do not report – it's not a – it's
even playing field. Well, in theory,
they each report to the owner. The coach doesn't report to the GM or the GM to the coach. They report to the owner. So they are equals on two branches. Like it's a two-branch organization, the personnel side, the coaching side. And I think people should leave space for, not trying to create drama here, but for the idea that, yeah, that's part of what's happened here. When Bean says again and again, it was the defense. It was the defense. The defense. That is something that, you know, we don't land on it too much. What if I don't want to say that. Like, this is a group that's had a lot of success and a lot of continuity. Another market that might pick up a little bit more. But when he says it's the defense, the defense, the defense, he's saying my head coach needs to get the job done. Is what he's saying. He's kind of, I drafted Josh.
Right.
I drafted Josh. I built an offense. Doesn't need receiver. It's the defense.
But I
would just leave space for that rift being, you know, worth considering.
Sure. The thing I would want to add, though, and the caller said this, no one could say that they haven't had a good enough roster over the last 5 years. I think you can say that. Can you say that about the defense? I think we can just say last year they did not have a good enough roster on defense.
Yeah. Previous years that we probably feel like they mostly have.
Sure. And a couple years, the Von Miller year where they signed him, like everyone was in agreement, that's the best roster in football. And often they've had that. But I'm not trying to absolve McDermott for, again, letting an inferior or a gettable Chiefs offense look dominant against you. I'm not trying to absolve him of that. But we don't think we think that that roster was good enough on defense last year. This is, again, all to the point of it wasn't everything about receiver. Everyone knew the defense needed to improve and that most of their draft picks were going to be on defense. Why? Because the roster wasn't good enough on defense. Damar Hamlin is an incredible story. There's going to be a movie made about him, I'm sure, in 10 years. And he's a better player than you would have ever thought coming back from what he came back from. He should not have been on the field the whole season. Yeah, and then in the playoffs, covering Xavier Worthy in man coverage.
They signed Mike Edwards, and he never saw the field. They drafted Kyer Elam, and he rarely saw the field.
Kyer Elam, who they showed for 3 years they did not trust, was the next man up.
Yeah.
Behind a cornerback that has a concussion history. He was concussed that week.
And that's why they draft a lot of defensive players, someone's shouting at the radio.
Which is right.
Which is correct. That is right. 803-0550. More your calls if you want. We got some people to chat about it here on WGR.
Thinking about the sport of football and really the power of the game itself, right? Its capacity to ignite belief, right? Belief in ourselves, belief in others, belief in achieving what many may deem impossible. Travis Hunter, he embodies belief. He's a rare person, he's a rare player, but he's also a reminder that the boundaries of the game of football were built to be challenged. And so the decision to select him was actually a statement for how we plan to move, who we are, and we want him to be nothing more than him. Because when he is, he elevates the space around him.
James Gladstone?
I like this dude.
Any relation to Joey Gladstone?
From Full House?
Ah, I got one. I got one.
I was mostly sure. It's just been so long since I've seen that.
I'm glad I got one.
Joey Gladstone. Is he top three character on that show? Yes.
Yeah.
Is he number one? Who's the best Full House character? Is it Joey Gladstone? It might be Joey Gladstone, actually.
That's a great... I mean, it's
Jesse Kinsopolis.
It's not Uncle Jesse.
Comet doesn't count because everyone would pick Comet.
Comet. Listen, Comet.
Comet would be number one.
It's not Jesse.
Dogs don't count.
It's got to be Uncle Jesse.
Ooh. These are top two?
Probably.
Danny Tanner, great character, but not top two. Okay, it's between Uncle Jesse and Joey. Put a poll up.
I'll put a poll up. Another poll. 803-0550, our number. We'll mix some more calls in here, Jeremy and Joe. Silas in New Jersey. Hey, Silas, what's up?
Hey guys, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
New Jersey traffic, you know, but whatever. So I just wanted to bring up a couple of quick points. I don't understand why people would say that this roster over the last few years has been worth getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, outside of the quarterback, Stephon Diggs, and some really nice regular season numbers, the defense has been marred by untimely injuries in the playoffs. You know, I don't know what the defense was supposed to do in 2022 after they signed Von Miller. The pass rush went from, you know, top five, top 10 in the league to, you know, the well under bottom half of the league when Von Miller got hurt. You also lost Trey White. You also lost, you know, a lot of guys in leading up to the playoffs. Same thing with 2023. I don't know what the team was supposed to do defensively when you don't have Benford, you have a hobbled Russell Douglas, you don't have Micah Hyde, you don't have Milano. There are guys, Daquan Jones just came back, you know, a couple weeks before the playoffs started. Like, there were guys that are integral to the defensive system that are just not there. So I heard a caller earlier say that this is a very informed fan base, one of the most, and I'm not saying that that the Bills fans are not. I'm a Bills fan. We're all Bills fans, I assume. But if you watched that defense last year and you pay attention to the numbers and you're doing your thing to make sure that you're researched on what's going on with the defense, I don't understand how you would ask for anything other than defense in this draft. Now, yes, did we need a speed wide receiver to stretch the field to really open up this offense by giving Josh Allen a third level option? Absolutely. But there were plenty of times last year where Mac Hollins, you know, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, the running backs got open, got steps, and Josh just missed the throw because we don't do it often enough, or he's more worried about turning the football over or overthrowing a guy than he is about, you know, just taking a chance. So when you have the 28th completion percentage against on defense, when you are the 29th team when it comes to defensive third down percentage, you're allowing, you know, there's only two teams in the league, two or three teams, allowing more third downs,
yep,
conversions than you are when you're not getting home, when you're allowing a time to throw on average under 2.7 seconds throughout the year, when you're giving Mahomes the option to step up and find receivers on crossing routes because you don't have the athleticism in the secondary, you don't have the coverage skills, guys, to allow the defense to get off the field and get this offense more opportunities. We're top five, we're top seven in scoring, and we're 17th in possessions. These are numbers that are real, and attacking the defense actually fixes the problem. And it also gives the McDermott detractors what they want. If McDermott can't win this year, if he can't at least get to a Super Bowl with this influx of talent, speed, athleticism, and youth on this defense, he's never going to get it done. So it's time to fire him.
Well, real quick, Silas, on this point, I don't think anybody disagrees. Like, their defensive talent last year was not good enough.
Right.
I mean, it's going to sound like a shot at Bean. It's not. Who built that defense? It's been here for a long time. It's been a long time. The entire roster, every single player on it, is, whether you think their roster is one of the best in the league or they're only carried by Josh and his unicorn status, or they built an incredible offense, like, Bean has some feathers in his cap, and he has got some where they've dedicated 8 top 100 picks to the defensive line. 4 of those, by the way, three of those this year. But they've dedicated a lot to the defensive line, and they've not been able to get home. The Super Bowl, to me, was the showcase here. What did the Eagles do? They didn't call exotic stuff. They just beat the brakes off the Chiefs up front. And the Bills, after trying to build defensive lines again and again and again, that's Vaughn's on that line, first-round pick at Oliver, first-round pick Greg Rousseau, a defensive tackle spot that kind of rotates in. But The Bills had, they drafted third round Dwayne Carter inactive for that game. The Bills didn't have the talent to beat up a Chiefs offensive line that was there for it. Now, maybe that's because they were weak in the secondary, where their first man up off the bench is Kyer Elam. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Couldn't you even argue they overachieved on defense last
because
year?
Because of the turnovers.
And honestly, I've pointed this out, they were not that bad run defense-wise. Right? They were plugging that together. Jordan Phillips comes in. Quentin Jefferson comes in. Milano misses most of the year, and it's Dorian Williams. And by DVOA, they were the 10th best rush defense in football last year. And they did, I mean, they stopped half of the Baltimore attack, right?
Yep.
They did stop Derrick Henry. Everyone was, Bulldog put it this way, everyone was thinking that it was Paul Bunyan walking into the stadium for that day in the divisional round, and they did stop him. They had to give the pass maybe to do it. So, you know, what was the roster? The roster had a lot of holes on defense, yep. And they found their way to turnovers and being good in certain spots. They were terrible on third down. But
one spot the defense had a big hole or big problem they didn't fix. They're hoping safety. They're hoping Cole Bishop is ready.
Yeah.
Because last year their safeties were they're bad. I mean, whether you want to use PFF coverage grades or rankings all over the place, where the Bills' safeties rank. Near the bottom, not good. Not good in coverage. Mm-hmm. And they kept that room together for the most part. They had, Derek Forrest.
Right.
But
the difference will be that Bishop should play all year.
Right, right. They're counting on Bishop to be the guy that elevates there. And Rapp is a guy that, he's fine. He's okay. He's not a high-price, big-time safety. They've gotten by with that before. Maybe they think a better front four will help them there. But
it's a little bit like counting on Coleman, isn't it?
Sure. Which is a reasonable thing to do. Is it the best plan? Maybe not. But it could be defended as a good plan.
Right. They've started acting at safety more like the way the league kind of does, which is we're going to prioritize defensive line and corner, and safety kind of comes after. It's two positions now, really, where the roster looks different. The strategy, you could argue, looks a little bit different from, with the investment and the play that Hyde and Poyer gave you, plus around that time is when they trade for Diggs. So two positions that they're two best positions, right? Like when they made it to the AFC Championship the first time, and then the 13-second game where a lot of people thought they should have won the Super Bowl that year, outside of quarterback, obviously, your best two positions were probably receiver and safety. And more, those are the two positions where they're kind of thinking, yeah, we're going to get by with guys that are just pretty good.
Let's go to Joe in Florida. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. A couple interesting days for you guys.
Yes, indeed.
I feel like I've been listening quite a bit the last couple of days, and I almost feel like it's getting a little out of control on trying to make all the excuses on how poorly Brandon Bean has performed or how poorly Sean. I mean, we just had a caller call in and want to get rid of McDermott and that there's a split up between the two. I mean, we're really going off the deep end here. Fact of the matter is, guys, we've got one of the best general managers in the league. I mean, I think he's got a track record that supports that. You can disagree on one or two of his moves, but, I listened yesterday and you guys were going down a rabbit hole of giving Josh Allen all the credit for all the wins, the culture in the locker room, and that, basically any coach GM combo could win with Josh. Now, I'm not dumb enough to say there aren't any other people out there that could win with Josh Allen. He's obviously, if not the best, one of the top three or four players in the entire league at the most important position. But, that culture in that locker room is something that Hyer and Poyet and Trey White and McDermott started and have carried over. It's been Bean and McDermott bringing the right players in to develop that culture. And I'll give you the perfect example. The thing that kept coming up in my mind listening to you guys. Do we all agree Joe Burrow is a franchise quarterback?
Yes.
Where do you rank his wide receiver room in the entire league with Jamar Chase?
One or two.
Exactly. So there's a team that's got everything, yet their GM has let them down.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Just, Joe, let's be objective here. they missed the playoffs last year, right? Their defense is a mess. They fired their defensive coordinator. They had a dip, right?
Yep.
Is their resume not better than the Bills? Is it or is it not? I mean, they made a Super Bowl.
They made one Super Bowl.
That's right. They made a Super Bowl, and they made two AFC Championship games, the same numbers the Bills have. They've had years where Burrow was missed with injury, and their defense fell apart. But, I mean, if the argument is to be, well, and again, like, I'm not going to hang up on you. I want to keep going here. I'm not even here saying they need to give Allen the top two receivers in football. But I don't want to really hear, or I don't want to entertain the idea that the Bengals are flawed when they have been farther than the Bills.
Well, I understand that, but what the argument I'm going to make there, if we're going to be objective, it's more than their defense that let them down. They've got their money in wide receivers. Their offensive line has been terrible. They
That's
haven't
right.
protected Burrow.
But they have not had money in receiver until right now.
Yeah, before that, right, exactly. Like one thing about the Bengals is this gets to the Eagles' point. Again, like, Joe, I think that the salary cap – sorry, you, Joe. I think the salary cap lets people believe that these teams are all on an equal financial playing field, and they are not. Some teams do more, and some teams do less. And Cincinnati has been one that over the years has been talked about as doing less, and their GM might not be as good as Brandon Bean. But again, they have made it farther. They have been just as good. They've had lower lows because they don't have the defensive coach. They have the injuries. They make bad picks. Like, but I guess I don't know. I don't get looking at the Bengals as some sort of dunking on scenario.
And if I could add in here quickly, Joe, the Bengals who missed the playoffs by one game, or was it even tiebreakers this past season, with 1-point losses to the Ravens and to the Chiefs. Look what it took for them to miss. They had elite quarterback and elite wide receiver. They had a terrible secondary. They had a terrible defensive line. They had a terrible offensive line. They had mid running backs, mid tight ends. Like, it almost feels like they were, you know, the Sabres with Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart. So, well, you can't win with star players because they couldn't do it. Well, they had nothing else around them. Look how much it took for them to miss the playoffs with those three players at the head. They had to literally screw everything up else on the roster.
But I understand. So there's, you're kind of making my point, because I'm saying you can have a franchise quarterback. You can have those difference makers at wide receiver.
You can.
But the Bills aren't going to have nothing else.
You can't just put any GM in there. I mean, think about last season, guys. At this time, we were sitting here going, oh, my God, look at all the dead cap they have.
Yeah.
Look at the guys that they've let go. This is a reset year. We might win 9 games this year, maybe 10. I mean, Brandon retooled and brought in a roster that got us to 13-4. And made a run in the playoffs that was totally unexpected.
I mean, I guess
that was said, but I expected they were going to win the division last year.
Totally unexpected, and
but it was said.
It's just you can't overstate how much Josh Allen does that for them, and Joe Brady and Bean does deserve credit. But right, the Bengals have not ever fallen apart because of paying receivers. They just started to do that. They were paying elsewhere, and.
Right.
You know, teams make bad decisions. But the idea that you can't have, and again, like, I feel like so much of this conversation is being hijacked. Bean is trying to hijack it. Oh, about Diggs, and I'd love to have a Pro Bowl receivers. We're talking about drafting one in the fourth and fifth and sixth, like where he wanted to draft one. But he's trying to recreate and reframe the narrative. Joe, you said, like, you can't have a premium quarterback and premium receivers. You definitely can, and lots of teams do. Whether or not you have the rest of it, it's hard. It's a puzzle to put together. But successful teams have multiple highly paid players. And whether that's, you know, the Ravens, who I don't know if they're paying big money to a receiver yet. Probably not. Maybe Zay Flowers gets good money there. The Chiefs, of course, have had a premier tight end. I don't know. I feel like we always get in all these different branches of the conversations, but you definitely can. The Bills had it and won 4 divisions while having it. And last year, they won with $26 million in dead cap. I would raise my hand and say, what if the $26 million was on a $26 million receiver instead of just dead cap? Or on a $26 million defensive end, right? Like, there are lots of ways to do it. Bean said that with us. He said that with McAfee. We agree with that. We don't think they're going to be bad. We don't think it's as binary as that. But I want to always caution against saying what you can't do. There's a lot of things that you can do and that these teams can do more. The Bills could be more like the Eagles. They really could do that. But financially and structuring, they've not yet done that. And that's whatever. We saw some void years this year, so maybe they're starting to move that direction. They should be going all out. Thanks for the phone call, Joe. Good points.
Yeah.
All unpacking it. Extendo Sports and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.